Let's go to Psalm 131 tonight. We're in Psalm 113 this morning, so I just shifted the numbers. Just worked out that way. Psalm 131. Psalm 131, verse 1. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and we read passages sometimes, and then one day come back through and find that the passage looks entirely different, has an entirely different angle than I've ever looked at it before. I'm glad to have a living book that works like that. And, Father, I know that there are many that don't believe it, but we believe it. And we are glad to come to it knowing that it looks at us more than we look at it. We thank you for it being real and for the fact that we, in believing it, it empowers some things in our lives that otherwise would not be touched. And so we come to you tonight, ask you to give us insight into, well, ourselves, into you as well, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Got a real plain picture here. The actual text is verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, it's a plain picture. You got a baby that is being weaned from its mama, from its bottle, maybe even its pacifier. And sometimes when babies get weaned, they ain't too happy for a while. I will say this. This is a song of degrees of David there, if you have the titles in your Psalms. That's a remarkable thing for a grown man to say. Stop and consider, how many grown men have you heard say in your lifetime, I am like a child that has been weaned from its mother? I bet not many. And consider, this man that's saying this is David. He's David, the king of Israel. He's one of the most powerful men in the world at that particular time. And David says, as a grown man, he says, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. David says, I'm like a baby. I'm like a little, maybe a toddler. And I've just been weaned from my mama. And, you know, there have been some things that have been taken away from me. And the things that have been taken away from me are things that were a comfort to me, and they placated me, and they soothed me. I enjoyed them. They were a comfort to me. But it's not my job to second-guess God. Look in verse 1. My heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. It's not my job to second-guess God about what He's done for me and what He's taken away from me. It's not my place to complain. It's not my place to resent it. Those things are too high for me. It's not my call to say that I think God has done something differently than what is best for me. He said, so I've chilled out. I've quieted myself. I have kept my mouth shut. I've kept my heart right. I am as a weaned child. I don't know if Psalm 131 coincides with anything you can pick out of an event in David's life. I don't know. I was thinking, you know, here is David. Imagine David here. The David and Bathsheba incident. She is pregnant. She is now ready to give birth. David, of course, already found out guilty of having conspired against Uriah the Hittite's life. And word comes back, the kid is sick. The little baby is sick. And David fasts and prays. In fact, the baby dies, and his servants are afraid to come into him because he's already tormented himself this much over this thing. What's going to happen if we say the baby's dead? And David picks up on the murmuring in the background, says, "Did the baby die?" And they said, "Yeah, he did." He said, "Okay, I'm ready to eat." And I think about David there, you know, all the sorrow that comes upon a man who's sinned and knows that something's his fault. And I wonder if that's when the psalm was written. My soul is like a weaned child. I think about when one by one those other sons went down. First Amnon, and then Absalom, and then Adonijah in the end. And I know that he cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son, would God I died for thee, my son." But after it's all over, after the crying's done, he sits there before the throne of God as a weaned child, not complaining, but satisfied with the comforts God's given him. There's a ton of stuff. Maybe it happened when the 70,000 died when David numbered Israel. Maybe it happened somewhere out in the wilderness when Saul was chasing David, and the throne should have rightly been David's, but David refused to go into Saul and slay him. And although he's been cheated so far from his throne, he's able to sit before God as a weaned child. I don't know, maybe something like that. I don't know that. I do know this. Men and Christians included grow accustomed to certain privileges, certain comforts, certain blessings. They're like a bottle. They're like a pacifier. It's like a baby with its mama before it's weaned. And sometimes those things are health. And sometimes those things are a job or a career. And men take comfort in those things. Those are blessings. They're privileges. And men and women take joy in those things. They take comfort in those things. There's money in the bank. There's material blessings that flow. I've got friends that I've had for my entire life. I have friends that go all the way back to childhood. And I lean on those friends, and those friends mean something to me. Or there's some other kind of security. Or there are certain liberties. Or there are certain conveniences that it's easy to take for granted. They're a comfort. They're a blessing. I was thinking about safety. Now, most of us have never faced an invasion. The Rus are in a part of the Ukraine that could be invaded if there is an invasion. Kind of a different perspective on safety. And so if you're always able to go back home and settle back in your chair and have your dog around and a gun in the closet, I mean, you know you're safe. But the Rus might not be safe. Thinking about the Malars here the other night and realizing that Lonnie and Grace have to do something with water. I mean, who here has worried terribly, unless you're one of those obsessive compulsive people, about cleanliness lately? I mean, you know, I'm not talking about somebody that goes and does the hand sterilization thing 88 times a day. I'm talking about just in general. In general, look, if you go get a drink out of the city water fountain, you're not going to die today. But you take it for granted. So sometime maybe you'll be called to go somewhere where you can't just take a drink of water. You know, that sort of thing. I was thinking about it being, maybe it's respect. Maybe it's honor. Maybe it's popularity. Some lost men take comfort in their sports bars, their booze, their wicked friends, their parties, and that sort of thing. I know this. Men grow accustomed to certain privileges, certain blessings, certain comforts, and they take comfort in them. And then the second thing I had to say along this line, children don't get to choose when they are to be weaned. Huh? I mean, the Lord may take something away from a lost guy, and that's to get the lost guy saved, right? But the Lord will take something away from a saved guy to wean him off of something to get him on something better. And the Christian doesn't get to choose when he gets weaned. I mean, here is self-reliance. Maybe you've always been one of those persons that no matter what the situation, you had enough gumption and ingenuity to be able to figure something out to get out of it. Well, there comes a time maybe that the Lord will put you in a situation where your self-reliance is no good. Or how about, the strength of the strong? Maybe you're one of those guys and at 25 or 30, you can pick up the front end of a Mack truck. And so you never had to worry about having too little physical strength to do most anything you wanted. Then one day, the Lord decides to wean you off that and suddenly you're not as strong as you thought you were. And you found something that you can't pick up that you need to. How about the beauty of the fair? There's lots of women that think very highly and take great comfort in their fairness, their beauty. And then for one reason or another, even as time goes by, but also other things happen, and all of a sudden, that thing that you've relied on, the Lord weans you from it. And you don't have a choice. And you don't get to choose when you're weaned. The control of circumstances. You always being in charge. And, you're just an aggressive personality, and no matter what happens, you're in charge, and you can handle it, and you can take care of it until the day that you can't. And you don't get to choose the day that you can't. So I was thinking about that. Maybe something you've used as a pacifier for a long time. Some place you've always been able to return to kick back, and no matter what else is going on, no matter how hard the wind's blowing, it's a place that you can go and be soothed and comforted and enjoy that time. Well, I got news for you. A child doesn't get to choose when he's weaned. And I want to say along those lines that weaning is hard on the weaned. My sister and I grew up around livestock and animals, cattle, baby calves, that sort of thing. And when it's time for the calf to be weaned, the calf can get a little irritated, get a little agitated, because it's used to that comfort. It's used to being able to nurse mama. And then the day comes, that part's over. The calf can get a little bit irritated, a little bit agitated. How in the world will Paul, who's called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, got these letters to write, all this travel to do, how in the world will he ever manage without his eyesight? Here is Jacob. And Jacob's always got a plan. And Jacob's always going somewhere and traveling somewhere. How in the world is Jacob going to get around for the rest of his life on a sinew that shrank? How is Jacob going to make it as a crippled man? And he didn't get to choose when it happened. Here is Ezekiel. How in the world can there be an expectation for Ezekiel to lose his wife in the morning and then get up in the evening and preach and not cry? How in the world is that going to happen? Here is Gideon, called to go defeat the Midianites. And he watches as the Lord pares his army down 10,000 at a time, so he's finally reduced from tens of thousands to go fight this battle down to 300 men. How can a man be expected to trust in God who has watched his army walk away from the field of readiness and he's down to 300 men? How in the world is Christianity going to get by? Because here we are and Rome has just killed our last and final apostle. How in the world will Christianity make it? How in the world will Christianity make it in a world in the Roman Empire where it's illegal to be a Christian? How in the world is this going to happen? My point, weaning is hard on the weaned. And before I talk about something else, there's one last little thing. Weaning is a perfectly natural progression. Like I said, Kim and I grew up around livestock. Works for cats and dogs. Works for cattle, for baby calves, works for foals. They all have to be weaned in time. Every single one has to be weaned unless it's dead. Now, you have to admit, it would be a fairly unsightly thing to have a 14-year-old not weaned. I don't think I have to draw any more pictures. It's a perfectly natural progression that there would be a weaning. So it's a perfectly natural progression that part of the Christian life is the Lord doing some weaning. And again, this is weaning away from something that's been a comfort. It's a pacification. It's something that's enjoyable. It's even at one point or another something that's needed. But the Lord says, you don't need that anymore. You need something else. So I'm taking this away from you. So I have, I never even told you what the title of this message is, did I? As a Weaned Child is a title. And I've covered a lot of ground already, but I just have a few fairly brief questions to ask you. It says there in Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. I have some questions for you. One, what has been your solace and comfort? What have you taken comfort in? When you were lost, maybe for you it was the bottle. Maybe it was for you the bar. Maybe it was your buddies. Maybe it was money. Maybe it was some form of security, whether financial or career or whatever. I don't know. It could be a thousand things. Maybe it was your education. Maybe it was the company that you kept. What I know is that old Jacob always had a plan. Boy, when he was faced with his father-in-law's livestock, he figured out a plan by which he could cause a fertility issue and get the right kind of livestock in his herd as opposed to his father-in-law's herd. Jacob always had a plan, and he was always finagling and manipulating and so on and so forth until there came a day that his daughter goes out to take a gander at the young ladies in the land. And she wound up that day defiled, raped. Okay, Jake, what's the plan now? You know, I'm not saying that God caused that. I'm saying, though, the Lord is the one that can take something away that you've taken great comfort in. And all of a sudden, Jake found himself where there could be no plan for rectifying this matter. And so maybe it's something like that for you, but then you got saved. So now you've got a Bible. Now you have or surrounded or should be by God's people. You have a church to go to and a Bible-believing church at that. You have prayer to lean on. You have the Word of God to lean on, those two things. And for some folks have learned to lean very hard, taken great comfort in a certain brother or a certain sister who was a great help. They discipled you. They prayed for you. They maybe led you to Christ. And they strengthened you and all that kind of stuff. But then they fell. Are they disappointed? Are they fatalities or casualties in the spiritual warfare? And you didn't realize till they were gone how much you leaned on them, how much of their faith rubbed off on you, so much so that maybe it wasn't so much your faith, maybe it was theirs. How many folks do you know that got saved under Billy Graham, that had to grow past Billy Graham, or got saved under somebody that later fell, and they had to grow past that somebody? My question is, what has been your solace and comfort? For some, it's a preacher. For some, it's a strong leader. For some, it's somebody that you admired maybe more than you should have. And then something happens, and they disappoint, or they fall, or they falter, or they quit. There are a pretty lengthy list of men that I would have considered, well, that were instrumental in preaching to me and getting things, helping me get some things squared away. And I know some of those men right now are out of the ministry because of very disappointing sins. So when that happens, what now? Maybe you had a vision for a perfect family and a perfect marriage. Maybe you were one of those folks who, you know, you were affected early by someone's vision for it. And so when you got married and became a Christian, you and your wife were going to do everything right, and you were going to raise your kids right, and your kids were going to come out right because the formula said they should. And your great comfort was knowing that you were doing the right thing, and praise God for it. But you learn pretty quick that all the kids don't work according to formula. And so while your great comfort before was the fact that you had a great family, you were going to have a great marriage and great kids, there were disappointments that happened along the way for one reason or another, and there are a thousand different variables, and things didn't work out so well. What now? What now is your comfort? See what I'm saying? God using you. Your great comfort was the fact that you were sold out and you were serving God and you wanted God to use you. And then for various reasons and for all kinds of variables, once again, things didn't work out that way. There were disappointments. There were failures. Something happened, something catastrophic. And now it's almost like God's not using you at all. At least He's not using you in the way that you had thought He would, or that one day you thought that He once would. What now? What's your comfort now? What has been your solace? What has been your comfort? And the next question is this. Is your trouble, is your agitation, is your disquiet a weaning? It may be a chastening. I mean, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, right? Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. It may be a purging. No question, the Lord is interested in you getting rid of some sins. And so maybe it's a purging. Maybe it's a purifying. Maybe it's a trial of your faith. But, you know, you ever consider that your agitation, your frustration, the unease that you feel with something going on that God is doing, do you ever consider that it might be a weaning? Maybe you became too dependent upon a friendship. A certain friendship. A best friend forever friendship. And that's not working out too well. Your best friend forever is messing you up more than it's helping you. And so the Lord says, I think I'm going to ease her out or him out. Ever consider that, and you're cranky about it, it agitates you that you're lifelong best friend forever is gone or going. Ever consider it's the Lord weaning? Ever consider the Lord wants you to take comfort in something else and solace in something else besides that friendship? Maybe you became too dependent on a friendship. Maybe you became too dependent on a certain relationship. Maybe you became too dependent upon a certain comfort somewhere or a certain familiar thing that you were always able to return to. And no matter what else happened in life, you got to go somewhere and be alone and lean on that thing and take comfort in that thing. Maybe it was your checkbook. Maybe it was a diploma. Maybe it was your career. And then once that checkbook or diploma or career started not working out all too well, you wonder, what in the world is going on? And you're wringing your hands and you're sweating. And I wonder if it's a weaning. A long-used refuge, a certain way of doing things, a certain source of joy. It made you happy. It may not have been a godly joy, but you always enjoyed this hobby. This is something that you could always go, no matter what, and have fun. And then the Lord takes it. You ever consider that what you're going through might not be a trial of faith so much as it is a weaning? Ever think about it? I mean, I never thought about it. But I read here in Psalm 131 and looked at Psalm 131 different than I had before. Surely I behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. I mean, a child takes comfort in its mama, in its bottle, in its pacifier. It's long been a place that you could go for refuge. And for his entire life to this point, he's always had that comfort, that appeasement, that pacification he could always turn to no matter what. And then one day, mama says, pushes him away. The bottle doesn't come anymore. The pacifier is removed. And the baby ain't too happy. Is your trouble, is your agitation a weaning? Who's doing the weaning? Third question. Who's doing the weaning? This is not deeply doctrinal. Who's doing the weaning? God's doing the weaning. Right? God has removed that solace, that comfort, that thing you leaned on. Maybe you leaned too much on it. That thing you've always been able to go back to and sit in the corner and... Now, you know what? I'm not trying to stand here tonight and call you a bunch of babies. I'm really not, because that's really not the... But David, King David, a valiant man, a man of war from his youth, says, I come and sit before you today as a weaned child. That's quite a thing for a man to say. Don't you think that's kind of a big deal for a major general of the army to say? Who's doing the weaning? The answer is God. Who is responsible for your behavior and your attitude in the weaning? 131. 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved, and the Holy Spirit hath quieted me. No, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned from its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Who is responsible for your behavior and your attitude in going through the weaning? Don't get cross with your brother. He's not weaning you. Don't get mad at your wife. Don't look for a reason to get mad at the preacher because God has taken something from you because He wants to take something from you. You've leaned on too much and you need to go find some other place of comfort, the right place to lean. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the deacon's wife. Don't blame a brother or sister or a church because you're cross and cantankerous because God has taken something away and He's trying to advance you to a better spot. Who is responsible for your behavior and attitude in the weaning? I have another question. Just two more and I'm done, all right? Psalm 131, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. What is he talking about? What is Psalm 131, 1 about? From verse 2, Psalm 131, 1 is about you not dictating to God how He should deal with you. It's about you not dictating to God, trying to dictate to God when He should wean you off something to give you something better. Psalm 131, 1 is about you not dictating to God what you want and how He should bless you. Because after all, you know how you feel and you know it's best for you. Without a context, there's a thousand things it can apply to. But in context, it has to apply to this. It has to apply to God taking some comfort, some solace away so that you can grow up. And then He says, my heart is not haughty, I'm not proud, my eyes are not lofty, and I'm not busy exercising myself in matters too high for me and telling God, who is much higher than me, how He should treat me. Last question. This is talking about weaned children. I said it was natural. It's a perfect natural progression that someone should grow, that in growing someone should be weaned. And I'm not standing here tonight being caustic, calling us all babies, but I want to ask you this. How much have you grown? And I want to run you through just a quick series of verses. Going to just take a second on each one. Look in Isaiah 28. We're talking about weaning and growing. Isaiah 28, 9. How much have you grown? Have you grown lately? Isaiah 28, 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Now, what that sequence of verses says is that there comes a point where you have to be weaned to grow. And from that point, it is precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line. I just want to say, in the modern manifestation of the church, I'm not talking about necessarily our, but the church. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if anybody's growing. Because I don't know if anybody's weaned. It looks like a bunch of babies to me. And you try to teach them precept upon precept, line upon line doctrine, and they want nothing to do with it. Something's not right. Now, look once again, if you would with me, Psalm 131, verse 1. And notice there's another connection that I would like for you to just take note of, and then we're going to be done in just a couple minutes, all right? Psalm 131, and verse 1, where it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Okay, exercise. Again, what's Psalm 131:1 about? It's about me not telling God what He should take away from me to give me something better. Not dictating to God what is best. Not presuming in pride to tell God what is best for me. Like I know what's best for me. Right? You don't know what's best for you. You don't have a clue. Your Father knows what's best for you. And if He waited for you to volunteer for what was best for you, you would never grow at all. Right? So, what is this exercise? Look in Acts 24, real quick. Acts 24. And verse 16. And again, this is a context of a relationship with God. Notice he says, and herein do I exercise myself, not in things too high for me, not in things too lofty for me, not in pride. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 7. Now we've just left the context of doctrine back in 131:1. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy 4. But refuse profane and old wives' fables as opposed to doctrine, correct? And exercise thyself rather to godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Hebrews chapter 5. And again, having just left a context in Psalm 131 of precepts and doctrine, and not presuming to tell God what is best for you. Hebrews chapter 5, and to be careful not to exercise oneself in things that you don't know anything about. Hebrews chapter 5, and go down to verse 13, and again, this context. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Man, folks, it makes me wonder if Christianity as a whole has grown at all. Now, you guys receive so much stuff here, not just from me, but from whomever, that I know that you're beyond that point. But I'm asking you here tonight some questions about being weaned. Here is David, valiant David, King David. And he said, I am before you as a weaned child. What a thing for a man to say. What a thing for a king to say. I wonder if you can say it, because I wonder what it is that you take comfort in and take solace in. And I wonder how it is that you've responded to the Lord when He said, okay, I'm going to take this away so you can have something better. Boy, have I seen some pitch a fit and make those around them miserable. Last question. How you doing? Really? How you doing? Let's pray. Now, Father, most natural thing in the world, that a child, a babe, a colt, a puppy, a kitten, a foal should be weaned. It's amazing that it's all around us, and yet sometimes we may have missed the lessons. I certainly had not looked at Psalm 131 quite this light before tonight. I pray that You'd help, Lord, as we contemplate carefully these things as they apply to ourselves. And Father, I know there are many disappointments that reside in this room, not just this year, but in years past, and all kinds of things happen, of course, in life, and they're painful, and we have our little world turned upside down at times because there's a comfort that's removed from our midst that we have always fallen to and retreated to. We should ask ourselves, is this a weaning given us by a Heavenly Father that wants something best for us? I pray You'd help us to carefully consider our hearts and our attitude and our behavior when these things are removed from us, and whether we might indeed contemplate whether it might have been the hand of our Heavenly Father trying to do something perfectly progressive for us, perfectly natural. And we've resented it, and we've insisted on camping on the thing that we've lost instead of where we ought to be going. Let's take a hymn book and stand, number 390.
great today all around. Nice to have good news coming in and some visitors and stuff and some encouraging things happen. Keep praying and keep working. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we appreciate what you've called us to do and be. And Lord, sometimes the going gets tough simply because it goes against our nature. And we would like to fight the bit and fight the yoke that you put upon our shoulders. We would prefer to go another direction, and we'd prefer to go a way that's easier on the flesh than you've chosen. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us know that you love us. And help us, Father, to do what's right and to stay in thy path, walking in thy light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody.